This particular one started because Matt Davis, our artistic director, in honor of his 10th year with the company, wanted to do past, present, and future. That was sort of his idea for a theme for a season. So he asked me to write a present day version of the Frog Princess. So I set out, I had read a bunch of different versions, some of which I'd been familiar with over the years. I've been working with folklore for all of my adult life. And, you know, this kind of came out of the idea of what would happen in present day if someone came across a frog and decided they wanted to perhaps marry them or, you know, partner up with them in some way. What happens in my brain anyway is that I just start ruminating on what happens if you put this character in this place at this time. And so, again, having been asked to create a modern version of it, it's like, well, what happens if someone were to meet a talking frog in this day and age where we have cell phones, or we have people taking pictures, where we have different kinds of familial responsibility, where people are a little more free, even in royalty, to make their own decisions about who they want to be with and how they want that to happen. It's, in many ways, it's a coming of age story, I think. And it's a story about finding yourself for Prince in this story, and in some ways for the frog and the whole rest of the family.
For folks who are unfamiliar with the arts in the open, the style of theater, it really is a theater hike as a piece. When you're writing specifically for arts in the open, what are some of the elements that you keep in mind and that audiences need to look out for on the trail?
That is such a cool question. So again, for folks unfamiliar, the way it works is that our shows are a combination of a 2-mile hike and a performance. So the audience starts in a central location. They're led up to the first location where the actors are waiting. They settle, they watch a scene, then the actors move ahead, the audience follows. And traditionally our shows do this anywhere from 4 to 6 times. So when I'm adapting a piece or writing a piece, I'm keeping in mind that I need to chunk out my show. So that's one of the first things I think about is, how can I break it up so that scenes are compact and contained and they make sense on their own, knowing that the audience is going to have then a 10 to 15 minute walk between scenes. So it's almost like I'm almost writing for 4 mini intermissions, if that makes sense. So one of the things I want to keep in mind as a playwright is, what's going to keep my audience interested? What are they going to talk about while they're walking from scene to scene? So the idea of leaving a question hanging, leaving more information, watching a character very often exit a scene to go somewhere else, which is where we are also going. So that's definitely a consideration. I also love to work in little jokes about being outside. Very often my plays will include one character or more complaining about hiking somewhere, or why does it feel like I'm sitting on a mountain if they're sitting on a couch? So I love the little meta moments that I can include. The other challenge is, because we do have the coolest set designer in the world, Mother Nature does an awesome, awesome job with sets and lighting, but she can be a little persnickety. So, and also we can't really work in tremendous effects. So, you know, for instance, in this play, the frog, a traditional frog, prince or princess stories have a transformation. And I had to know going in that we can't do cool things with lighting. You know, we only have so much we can do. So knowing that I have to make an interesting moment out of something magical, and we can't fall back on technology to do it, I find that a really cool challenge. And I think we found a really fun way to make that happen with this. So I think those are some of the ways I like to embrace, you know, what arts in the open is and what we do and where we do it.
And so part of those like storytelling mechanisms of like pulling the audience along with the characters is really a truly immersive experience as the audience goes along this fairly moderate hike throughout Chautauqua.
It is. It's not immersive in the more traditional sense, in that we don't often pull the audience into the story, but they do get to be very much in the same location that we are. I think it's a different experience being outside. And that's one of our missions with Arts in the Open, is to, you know, get families up and moving, to give them the best of what Colorado has to offer, which in such a huge way is the outdoors. So, and I love it because, you know, the theater tradition I was personally brought up in states that there's 3 things you need to create theater. One is actors, at least one. One is at least one audience member. And the third element is space. And it's very specifically not stated as theater or a stage, but space, because theater can really happen anywhere. You need enough space to tell whatever story you're trying to tell. And the space is a partner with you and definitely influences how you tell the story. But those are the three elements you need, and that's it, nothing more. All the other stuff is great and adds to it, costumes and props and scenery and technology, but the necessity of creating theater can be accomplished on the trail, which is something I really love.
This is the first full summer lineup that Arts in the Open has hosted since the pandemic, has featured since the pandemic. So tell us a bit about what it's like to kind of be back in the rehearsal space and be back on the trail.
It is such an incredibly fantastic feeling. I've been doing theater my entire life, and it's been my career my entire adult life. And I've likened it to digging in my closet for an old pair of shoes that I knew were there, but haven't worn in a while. And I put them on and they just fit perfectly. There's something about being back in that room that is so familiar and comforting. The rehearsal room is one of my absolute favorite places to be. I love the process. I have an incredible company of actors who we're all truly delighted to be back together. And then to take it out on the trail is just such an enormously wonderful added element. I pinch myself every time I'm up at Chautauqua and I look around and I think, wow, I'm doing shows out here and somebody's paying me to do this. And we're going to bring other people out here to see this and experience this. And we get to play and have fun in this amazing space. I think if the pandemic did anything for us positively, it added this amazing element of caretaking. And theater is always about creating these little mini families for a time and then moving on and creating a new mini family. And I think there's a real sense of taking care of one another and figuring out how to be the best people we can be in an additional way than we had before. I think we're very concerned with each other's health, both physical and mental, in a way that maybe we weren't quite as conscious of before. And I really appreciate that.
Well, once again, The Frog Princess kicks off this weekend. For more information and tickets for this whole run, where can people go?
They can go to the Chautauqua Boulder website, and they can also go to the 4 Mile Historic Park website. Additionally, there is a link right on our website, which is artsintheopen.org.
Well, once again, we're speaking with Patty Murtha, the playwright and director of The Frog Princess. Patty, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Veronica. I appreciate you.